Today's daf is daf lamed tes. So we got to the last few lines of lamed ches amud beis. We got to the words Amar le Rabbi Yirmiya. Right, that's the last line. Lamed ches amud beis. Amar le Rabbi Yirmiya le Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yochanan heichem mivarach azayis maliach. He wants to know how does one say bracha on eating a salted olive? The came in the shakli le garinai. Since you remove the pit, you remove the seed from it. So batale shiur, it has less than a proper shiur. And so the Rashi says here, on top of Lamentes, Batalei Shiura, V'gavei Birchas Peres Ha'aretz, when it comes to saying a bracha, Achila Ksiva V'Achila B'Kazayis. It says Achila, one has to eat it. So it has to have a Shir Kazayis in order to say a bracha properly. So it's a strange Havamina. But there's a discussion we've shown him what bracha a person says on Pachas M'Kazayis. There are four basic shitas, but some just, the three basic shitas are, you don't say bracha at all, we don't assume that way, but you don't say any bracha on something less than a kazayis. Another opinion says, you would say shahakol, even though the item might be ha'etz or a dama. Some say you say shahakol, and others say no, you say whatever the proper bracha is, you say it even though it's less than a kazayis. Less than a kazayis is simply a factor with saying a bracha achrona. But with respect to saying a bracha rishona, that we assume lahalacha, that you say the bracha on that particular item. So he wanted to know, what bracha do you say on an olive, since an olive that's been salted, that's been pickled perhaps, is missing the pit, so it doesn't have the shiva kazayis, what bracha do you say? So the Gemara responds, Amar lei, mi savris kazayis gadol bainan. Whoever says, in order to say a bracha, bracha achrona we'll talk about now, that bracha achrona requires a large kazayis. We know olives come in different sizes. Kazayis bainoni bainan, you only need an average size olive. That olive that he brought, presented in front of Rabbi Yochanan, was his eyes gadahava. It was a large olive. Then, even though afagav the shakle legarinusa, even though you remove the seed from it, it still qualifies at least as the size of his eyes benoni. And pashle shira, it has remaining the proper shira, and therefore it deserves a bracha achrona. The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kalim, his eyes shamu, when we use the shira of his eyes olive throughout all of Shas and Shulchan Aruch. We're not describing a very small olive, nor are we describing a very large olive. Ela beinoni, an average-sized olive. And it's zehu alguri. That's what's called an alguri. Alguri is an average-sized olive. Vamar Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Abo explained, lo alguri shmo, ela avrut shmo. It's actually called an avruti. Vamri, the others say it's called a samrusi shmo. Falamanikro shmo alguri. Why is it called alguri if, in fact, it really is called a samrusi or avruti? Sheshamno algor besocho. Since the oil is embedded within it, it's called an aguri. Aguri means to be inside. Okay, either way, the zayis that's described throughout Kol HaShas, Kol Tarkula, is an average zayis beinonis. So Gemara now says, Neima Ketanai. Let's suggest that this discussion, going back to the discussion from a few days ago, what bracha does one say on shlakos, on cooked vegetables, we had a machlokas, do you say a hadama or do you say a shahako? So let's suggest that that machlokas is a machlokas tanai. Neima Ketanai. There are two tamidim sitting in front of Bar Kapar. So Bar Kapar brought in front of his tamidim three items of food. One is a kruv, which was a carob, a cooked carob. Durmaskin is some type of vegetable that's been cooked, a grass and herb. And pargios is some type of chicken. So he brought these three items, vegetable and herb and chicken. A baby chicken, okay? So Nasan Bar Kapara Rishus L'Echamim. So he gave permission to one of the Tamidim Levarach to say a bracha Rishona. So Kafatz Uberich Al Pargios. So he said bracha the Shahakal on the baby chicken. Liglev Al Chavero, the Chavero, the friend started making fun of him because he made the mistake of saying that he chose the wrong item to say a bracha on. Kas Bar Kapara. Bar Kabar got angry and Amar lo al hamivarach ani kois. I'm not angry at the one who said the bracha on the baby chicken. Ella al hamalagli ani kois. The one who's actually making fun and laughing at him because he thought he made a mistake in which food item he chose. So I'm chavercha dome kemisha lo tam basar meolam. Is your friend like a person who never tastes meat in his life? Meaning he was chaviv to him. He perhaps never had baby chicken and he was excited to have baby chicken. So he chose that which was chaviv over me. He didn't make a mistake in saying choosing that item. Why are you making fun of him? Why are you getting why are you joking about him? So Chazir Amar. So then Bar Kabar went further and said, "Lo al malagli ganikos." I'm not really angry at the malagli, the guy making fun of his friend. I'm angry at the mavarich, the one who chose the bracha and the baby chicken. Why? Vamar im chachma in kan. If there's no one who's a chacham, so maybe I'm not a chacham parsha. I'm not a tamil chacham. But ziknein kan, am I not old? Do I not have experience to help you tell you which bracha to make, which food to choose? And tani shneim lo hotziu shnasim. Both tamidim didn't make it out that year alive because one he didn't ask a eitz of what bracha to say. The other because he made fun of his friend. Okay, so that's the gemara. So the Gemara then says, "Vayter my love." So what's the machlokas about whether you should say the bracha on the chicken first, or should you say bracha on the cooked vegetables first? So my love, b'hakam mifli, is the machlokas not as follows: this mevarach savar shlokos the pargios. If you have the option of cooked vegetables versus pargio, so ashakol niyabidavaro, you should say shakol. Why? Because the hilkach chaviv adif, the one who said a shakol, the one who's mevarach chose the baby chicken because the chaviv is what's going to tell you and dictate which bracha to say first. And in Malaglug, the one who was making fun of his friend, Asavar Shlokos, Barpi Adama, he thought you should say Adama first on the vegetables. Why? Upargia, because Shlokos is Barpi Adama, and Pargia, the Shakolni Bidvaro, Hilkach Piri Adif. The fruit is better. The type of item that's a more specific and more detailed bracha, right? Shakol is most generic. Adama is more specific. Ha'et is even more specific. So you should be more as specific as possible. There's a whole chain, a hierarchy of the better brachas. You should choose for the better bracha as opposed to what you prefer. So this was the machlokas. Do you say chaviv is better, or do you say that the better the period, the fruit is better?
Why isn't krulah in the mix? That's also adama. An eitz. I mean, the krulah is an eitz. So why isn't that in the mix?
Not sure. I don't know.
What?
Oh, is it cabbage? Okay, so then it's not Shiloh. Okay, very good. So then the Gemara says, lo, not true. So this is not the machlokes about whether or not, again, the fruit, when the fruit is more chasha, which is more fruit. I mean, because the one who felt that, you should say the vegetables first, if rather the chicken first, is because he felt vegetables are also shakol. When you cook vegetables, it should also be a shakol. So in essence, they're arguing about whether or not you should say a shakol or a hadama on cooked vegetables. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not the machlokas here. Chuli alma, everyone agrees, shlokos and pargios, shakol ni bedivaro. You say shakol on both vegetables, and you say bracha, shakol on a baby chicken. That everyone agrees to. No one contests that. V'hacha, what's the machlokas here? Hacha b'ha svar kam mithlagi. They're arguing about a different svara. Mar savar chaviv adif, umar savar kruv adif, design. So one felt whatever your personal preference is the overriding factor, and the other felt that whichever one is more satiating, more filling, that is what's going to be better. And since apparently the kruv, the cabbage, is more filling than that of chicken, therefore one should have said that one on that bracha first, and that's a different machlokas than what to say on shlokos or not to say on shlokos. So this is a very, very tricky thing, halach l'maisa, what one chooses. If you look at Tosis for a little summary of how to paskin here with regards to that which is chaviv and that bracha which is more detailed, Tosis writes, Dibur Masal Chaviv Adiv, that which you prefer, your personal preference, should go first. V'chein halacha, that's how we paskin, that which is chaviv, only if im yeshlo shnei mini peros lefanav, that if you have two fruit in front of you, both are eight, you have an orange and a new apple, you should choose the chaviv adiv. You should choose what you like better. You like apples better? Say bracha on apples. Or you rather an apple right now? Then you should say the bracha on the apple. Ubar pri adama, adifa mishak, on the ebedivaro. If let's say you have the choice of a pepper versus a, meat, you should say the bracha on adama, because adama is a higher level than shaka. Why is it higher? It's more clear, it's more specific, and therefore chashuv al asmo mikres, it's called more chashuv. V'yivarach al osa min sheshayach bo pri adama, afa pisha osa min sheyesh levarach alav shakol lo chaviv alav. So if it's the option, if both brachas are equal, chaviv comes first. If one's chaviv, but one has a higher bracha, so then the higher bracha overrides the one that is more chaviv to. V'im lefana peros sheha brachos shavus, if you have, let's say, two fruit, and they're both equal, they're both ha'etz, V'yecha mehem hu mishivas haminim, one of them comes from the shivas haminim, then one should yivarach tchila al osa shel shivas haminim diadifa. So this, again, is a little bit challenging. Shulchan Aruch goes through all the different permutations. Back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Zera, ki havinim bei Rav Huna, when I was in the house, or the base medrash of Rav Huna, Amar Lan, he said to us, Hani garglide de lifta, which are like the ends of turnips, okay, parminu prima rabba, if they're cut up into large pieces, bari pri adama. So they're turnips, okay? So they're big pieces, big chunks. You say the big, you say the bracha of adama. But primi zut, if you dice them very, very small, so then shehakol niyeh b'divaro. That's how we assume them. But v'chi asan lebei Rav Yehuda, when we went to the base measures of Rav Yehuda, however, amrlan idi v'idi bari pri adama, they're both adama. V'hai de parminu tfei, that which is cut more, that which is diced into smaller pieces, kiecha dimnimtak taima. They only cut them up smaller, not to pulverize, not to remove the, but they wanted to do it by cutting up, apparently increased the flavor in it, and that's why they accomplished it. It's not called pulverize. So again, I'm not going to through all the halacha lemaaseh. It's very, very tricky about fruit juices versus fruit jam or applesauce, applesauce with chunks, applesauce without chunks. Some distinctions are, if you know, certain items that if you can't recognize what it is, it becomes a shahakal. But the applesauce, no matter how much you pulverize it, everyone knows it comes from apples. So it becomes very tricky, halacha lemaaseh, had a paskin, but we keep seeing coming up things that are mashed, things that are chopped, things that are diced, whether or not it retains the initial bracha or it doesn't retain the initial bracha. And again, it's a very confusing topic, halacha lemaaseh. Yeah, but we don't want to just do that. We want to have the proper bracha. So then Amar Rav Ashi of Ashi says, Ki avinim be Rav Kahana, when he was in the base medrash of Rav Kahana, Amar La, and he said to us, Tavshili di silka. So if you have cooked, beets? Cooked beets, de lo mafshi be kimcha, and you didn't put a lot of flour, maybe a little bit of flour in it, but it was pretty much beets. Borei pi adama, you say no adama. De lifsa, de mafshi be kimcha tfei, but when it comes to lifsa, which we said is radish, so then you put a lot of, apparently they would put a lot of flour in this radish thing, this radish mixture, therefore that would be a borei mine mizonos, because the kemach here is the ikur. Hadar, but then Rav Kahana himself retracted, and Amar Idi V'Idi Borei Pi Adama, they both deserve an Adama, even the radish that's mixed with a lot of flour. Why? V'hai Deshade Be'kim Chatfei, that which has a lot of flour, the radish mixture, there's L'Dabuke Ba'alma Avdulei, it was only placed there in order to have it stick together, but that wasn't really meant in order to add flavor. So this also becomes a very, very tricky topic of when the mizonos and when the kemach there is present for the purpose of having things cling. Is it there for the purpose of taste? Is it there for the purpose of filling you up? So licorice is a great example where there's wheat inside. Is it there ledabek? Is it there for tam? So it becomes tricky, and sometimes you have to call the manufacturers or perhaps the hashkacha supervising it to see which bracha to say when there is wheat that's present. So then the Gemara says, Amrev Chista, Tavshil shel tradin yafel olev. So if you have this type of mixture that has radish in it, my wife always says radish is very good, and beets are beets are very healthy for you. So it's a Gemara. The Gemara says tavshil shel tradin yafel olev. It's good for the heart. The tov le'naim. It's good for the vision. The kol shkein livnei me'am. And certainly for the stomach. Apparently, it's an obvious point that it's helpful for the stomach. So Amar Abaye says, v'hu the yosef abe tafe. It's only if you cook it in a certain way on the top, v'ovid a toch toch, and it's making some sound, like a toch toch sound, it's like bubbling of some sort. So when it has that sound in it, you've made it in the proper way, then it has all these medicinal benefits to it. So the Gemara now says, the last few lines of the page here, Amar Papa, Papa says, pshitali, it's obvious to me that my desilka, kisilka, so this going on again, this is the same category of, you know, anytime there's a byproduct of a food, does it retain the same bracha or not retain the same bracha? So we spoke about fruit juices, we spoke about mashing food. So now we're talking about maya desilka kisilka. If you have, let's say you've cooked some beets, and you have now the beet juice from it, so now that water, it's called the beet juice, I guess, same thing as kisilka. One would say a bracha of adama, just like you'd say adama on the beet themselves. Beet juice also would warrant a adama. Vimay deslifsa delikalifsa, and any of the radish juice would also have the same din as radish itself with an adama. Vimay dechulo shalke, and water or juices of any type of vegetable, kechulo shalke. So vegetable soup, if you're making a pea soup, you're making a, whatever type of soup you're making, a tomato soup. So according to this Gemara, it would come out, whatever the vegetable is, it would be that bracha of the vegetable, it would be an adama. So Rapapa asks the question, what about maya deshivsa? Water of shivsa, what's sheves? So sheves is some type of herb or grass of some sort that you put in its flavor, the tafshil. So you put it in, apparently flavors it, then you remove it. Do you have an English translation? What did it say? Dill. Okay, dill. So you put dill is there to flavor. So you have some type of dill soup. So my, what's the din? Do you say the adama on it, or is the dill simply there to add flavor? It's really a shahakal. There's water there, and the dill isn't really the essence. So my, what's the halacha here? Lematuki taima avida, is the dill simply present to add flavor to the soup, and therefore it should be a brach of adama. It adds flavor to it. O dilma, perhaps la bure zuma avdila. It's simply there to remove anything bad, any bad flavor. It's really to remove something bad, and not to enhance it, not to add flavor, and it would only be a shahakal. That's the suffix where Papa had about dill. So Tashma, the Brisa says
that
Mishnah.
We're talking about Maya, all these Mayas. Is it that there's some, it's only down and everything else is gone, or there's also some kind of.
You, and seemingly you mix it with water. You cook it, the radish in water.
And then you mix it, or you take it out, and then you drink the water.
No, I think it's a situation where you make it in soup. You put it in water, and
soup.
It flavors the soup. Okay. I believe that's the case. So then the Gemara says, Tashma. They bring a Mishnah from Uxin to try to prove the point here. Hasheves, this dill, Mishnasna tam b'kadeira, the moment it places, it flavors the soup in it, and then you remove it, ein ba mishum chuma. There is no chuma there, because the dill only adds flavor to it. The kadeira remains chulin. Even though the sheves itself may have been chuma, the dill itself may have been chuma, since you only do it to flavor, the soup doesn't have a din of chuma. The ein matam tumas ochlin, and so too is not makabel, makabel tumas ochlin. It's not called eitz, it's not called rather food. Shmamina lematuke taima avdile, it's there present to add flavor to it, and there to add tam to it, and for that reason, since it's there for tam, for the halachas of brachas, we go based on the tam, it would, in fact, warrant an adama, since the dill is adding flavor to the soup, shma mina. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, pas tsnuma baka'ara mivarchan aleha hamotz. It's actually an interesting topic, just for a second here. There's a shaila based on this topic of adding dill and adding radish and beets to the soup. What about the bracha on tea, the bracha on coffee? You put some coffee beans in, you put some tea leaves in. So based on this Gemara, what should come out is you should say an adama on it. Because tea grows from the ground and coffee beans grow from the ground. So if the Gemara says, I maya de silkas kasilka, maya de lifta, so maya de tea should be adama. So there's actually discussion. Some suggest that one should say an adama on coffee and tea, but certainly the practice is not that way. We view it simply as water, it's a shahakal. But an interesting topic comes up.
Coffee much more, because coffee stays inside. Tea, it just takes the flavor.
Could be.
Coffee, the whole thing is...
But either way, you say shahakal. Nonetheless, you say shahakal in both coffee and tea. So the interesting shaila comes up. So do you view coffee as simply water in other areas of halacha? So one area comes up when a person, let's say, you want a zimun. So if I'm, you have seven of us who washed, and you want to have 10 people, so if three people had mizonos, or even they had fruit or shahakal, you're allowed to be mitzvah for them as part of the zimun. Unless a person has water, water is the one thing that will not be mitzvah for a person to a minyan. So what if a guy is drinking coffee or tea? Will that qualify as the 10th person or not? Mm-hmm. So it depends how you view it. So if you view coffee simply as water, then it wouldn't be mitzvah. The halach is, even though you only say shahakal on coffee and tea, he would be mitzvah as well. Another area where coffee comes up is it subject to bishul akum or not? If a goy were to cook it, so you can't eat food or drink food, that was a drink water or whatever they cooked. So the din is that they assume it's not subject to bishul akum, because by water is not subject to bishul akum. If they cook my water, water is not something that's olal shulchan malachim. It's something that's edible chai, it's edible raw, it's edible cooked. So the halacha in terms of bishul akum, we view coffee as water, and therefore it's not subject to bishul akum. So some areas coffee is viewed as water, regarding the bracha you say, regarding bishul akum, but regarding mitzdarif to zimun, we do not view water as coffee. It's actually viewed as something more than that, and you would be mitzdarif to the zimun. So the Gemara now says the bottom here of Amun Aleph, Amar Rav Chiya, four lines up. Am Rav Chiya bar Ashi, pas tsenuma. If you have a dry piece of bread, maybe like a matzah or a cracker of some sort, b'ka'ara, if it's in a plate, mivarchan ala hamotzi, you should say hamotzi. Now, it doesn't sound like much of a chiddush here, but the point here is, because since they're cracked, there's a concept we're about to go into a new discussion about saying a brach on a shalim piece of bread or a shalim piece of food. So this is a pas tsenuma, it's cracked pieces of matzah of some sort. So even though it's cracked, you could still say hamotzi. The havamina is you should only say hamotzi on a full bread. This is cracked, you could still say hamotzi. So Gemara says, this position of Rav Chiya bar Ashi argues, who pligi the Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya argues, how so? Because the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Chiya, tzarech shetichla bracha im ha'pas. You should complete the bracha when you finish hamotzi. It should be while the pas, while the bread is still intact. But if it's broken, it seems to say that if it's broken, one should not say bracha on it. So just look at Rashi before you turn the page here. Rashi says, Tzarech shetichle, birchas hamotzi im prisas haprusa, minapas vai paris v'omenhu. You want to, right when you finish the bracha motzi, snap it then and break it. But the bracha should be complete while it's still intact. So Rabbi Chiya seemingly would not like a person to say hamotzi on a pas tsunuma, which is already considered broken. You would seemingly say hamotzi on something else, in a full piece of bread. So then the Gemara says, Maskev Rava. Rava said, Mai shnat tsunuma, so why tsunuma? Why wouldn't you say a brachu? Why wouldn't you say hamotzi on it? Perhaps you would say mazonos of some sort. So Mai shnat tsunuma delo. Because when you complete the hamotzi, the bracha is on a cracked piece of bread. We don't say hamotzi is on half a loaves, half a rolls. Pas nami ki gamra aprusa gamra. Even Rabbi Chiya says when you say the bracha, you should at the same time simultaneously break the bread as you're finishing the hamotzi. So when the hamotzi is finished, according to this understanding, is the bread isn't full. You want to do it in the same time as you finish it. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Aprusa, the last Rashi on the page here, Aprusa, Kaven de Amris im Prises Haprusa. Rabbi Chiya says you should complete the bracha with breaking of the bread, Tichla, Mai Chashivusa, Mai Ahanase. He says, Mamish, at the same time, Hamotzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz, and you crack it at the word Ha'aretz, you also have not completed the bread with, rather, you have not completed the bracha with the bread remaining intact. So what's the Chiddush? So Gemara tweaks the discussion as follows on the top of Amud Beis and says, Ella, Amar Rava, Rava says, Mivarech v'acharkach botzeya. A person should first say the bracha, and only after completing the bracha should he then break the bread, should he cut the bread. Gemara then says, Nehardai, abdi k'Rabbi Chiya. They would hold like Rabbi Chiya, which would be, they would mamish be botzeya as they completed the bracha. Rabban avde k'Rava, but the Rabbanan pasnei Rava, that you should only break it after you've completed the bracha. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Amri li, my mother told me, Avuch Aved, what your father had done, Ravina was told that his father did, Rabbi Chiya, that he broke bread as he completed the bracha. Dam Rabbi Chiya, Tzarech Shetichla Bracha im Hapas. However, the Rabbanan of the Rabbim would practice like Kirava and only break the bread afterwards. The Hilchas, the bottom line is Kirava, Dam Mivarech, Vacharkach Botzei. A person should say a bracha and only afterwards does he actually cut the bread. So if you look at Tosas here, just for a second, Hilchasa Kirava, the Mivarech, Vacharkach Botzei. Perish shelo yafrish haprusa min hapas ad achar bracha. A person should not break the bread until you say the bracha. So you're saying a bread on a loaf of bread. You're saying a bracha rather than a loaf of bread. You say a motzei lechem min haaretz, and then you take off a piece of bread. V'yeshnog, and there are those who practice levarach birchas hamotzi kodem sheyachtoch before you even cut it kedei shetepas shlema b'shas bracha. So there are different stages here. You know what? Many have the practice of brought down Shulchan Aruch to make a little incision. So here he says, some would not even make an incision. He's talking about during the week for a second. Not even make any incision during the week. He wants to say bracha on a complete piece of bread. So he says the bracha, and then afterwards you break it. Tosa says, V'eina ha-minag nachan lasos. This is not correct to do. Da'avi hesach adas bein ha-bracha l'achila. To have to say a bracha, and then start having to carve into the piece of bread, that's a hesach adas. He says one should not do that. So what's Tosas implying that one should do? He's implying that person, even during the week, you should start breaking the bread a little bit, and then say a bracha, and then snap it off as it finishes. That's the suggestion what Tosas seems to imply. Mihu, but on Shabbos, Tosas says, Nachon lahachmir ulevarech kodem shiachtoch. But when it comes to Shabbos, you should not even make a small incision. Shol tishamit yado livtsoa kodem shetich labracha, shaz lo ye lecha mishnah. Because if you make that little incision, it won't be a lecha mishnah. So Tosas, the shita is, during the week, is break the bread a little bit during the week, and then say motzi, and then snap it. On Shabbos, leave it completely whole. The Bach and the Shulchan Aruch brings down that there's a concept that I mentioned before, to make a small little incision in the bread, even on Shabbos, so there shouldn't be a Hezach Hadas to figure out where you should cut the bread after you've completed the bracha.
Okay.
Sometimes it does, I know, yeah.
When
the Gemara said, Vilchata Kirava, or any other case, is Shulchan Aruch sold the same thing?
Yes, Okay. So the Gemara now says, Itmar, Havil lefnem psisin vishlem. So let's say they bring in front of you, you're a guest somewhere, or you're at a restaurant, they bring in front of you some pieces of bread that are broken, that are not shalem, and then there's a whole piece of bread, a pashlema. So what should you do? Amar Ravuna says, Mivarech al psisin opotes ashlemim. So not that you have to. Rashi points out, Imrat, if you want, you could choose to make a bracha on the piece of bread, or the slice of bread, or you can make a bracha on the shalom. It's up to you. There is no preference when it comes to shalom versus psisim. We assume, however, like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar, Shlema, mitzvah, ben amufchar, it's certainly better to say a bracha on that which is shalom over that which is the slice of bread. So Gemara says, Aval prusa, but let's say the following circumstance. You have a piece of bread, a slice of bread, that's shalchitin, and shlema is min sa'or. So now, in addition to shalom versus prusa, you also have the order of the five dagan and the shivas aminim. Chit is certainly considered a higher level than sa'or. It's more chashiv. So now you have, on one hand, you have a prusa shel chitin, so the slice of bread is made of wheat. But then you have a shlema, you have a full loaf that's made of sa'orim. So is shalom better or is chita better? Which one is the overriding factor here? The Divrei HaKol, everyone agrees in this case, Mivarech al haprusa shel chitim upotes a shlema shel sa'orim. It's better to say bracha, the chita is a more important factor than that which is shalom. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba kitanai. This is really a machlokas tanoim when you have the concept of shalom versus that which is more chashiv. How do you see this? So this is a machlokas based on the Mishnah in Maseches Chumos. Tormin batzel katan shalim. A person should take chuma from a small onion. And if it's complete, if it's whole, avalochati batzel gadol, but not from a large onion that's half. So even though one is gadol, the shalim is an overriding factor. Gadol is considered chashiv, and shalim is considered a different element. So according to the Tanakhama, one should choose shalim over that which is more chashiv. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo. It's better to take the larger onion than the full shalom. So according to Behuda, chashiv is greater than shalom. Just like we said, chita is greater than the shalom of sorin. So to Behuda says the larger onion is more chashiv and better than that which is shalom. So this is machlokas tanaim in this mission in Maseches Shumos. To my love, is it not what we just said, that Baha Kimiflagi, the Mar Saver, Chashiv Adif, the one opinion thinks Chashiv, meaning that which is larger, is better. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Umar Saver, Shalim Adif, and the other one thinks that Shalim is better. Better to take the smaller onion that's intact than the larger, more Chashiv one. That's the Machlokas. So Gemara says,
it seems that the half of the big one is more quantity than the cotton.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, that makes it Chashiv, otherwise it wouldn't be Chashiv. So then the Gemara says, "Hey, the ika coin. When there's a coin that's available, kuli alma lo pligi. No one argues the chashiv adif. It's certainly chashiv is always better. That's why above that we said chita prusa shachita is better because chashivus is greater than that which is shalim. So when the coin's around, everybody agrees. Give him the chati gadol, the larger half a sliced onion. It's bigger. You give that to the coin. Chashiv is always better. So when there machlok is the mission in Shemos, ki pligi the leka coin when there's no coin around." So you separate chuma, but you have no coin to give it to. Your neighbors are all Levim, Yisraelim, and you can't find the coin. So now you're looking for something that's going to store, something that's going to not go bad. So the Tzan, the Mishnah says, call Malkum Sheesh coin whenever there's a coin available. He's your neighbor, he's your friend. Then Tarim Minayafe, you should take the better one, the Chashu one, which is the bigger piece. The Chol Malkum Sheein coin, when there is no coin around, Torah min ha-miskayim, take that which is going to preserve better, which is that which is shalom, that which has the cover, the peel, the klipos on it, that's going to preserve better, you should take from that, this way it doesn't go bad when you finally find the coin. But nonetheless, even in the case when there is no coin around, Rabbi Yehuda still holds on to the din, Omer ein tarim ela min ha-yafa, you always to choose the bigger one, the more chashiv one, regardless. That's the machlokas. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, v'yei shemayim, yotzei deshneim, a real yar shemayim, should be yotzei both shitas of what? We had the machlokas above of Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan about whether or not you should say dafka on the shleimim, the bracha, or you even could say the psisim if you want. So how are yotzei shneim, both shitas? Umani, who was an individual who's a yar shemayim, mar breid ravina, the mar breid ravina, what he would do is he meniach prusa basocha shleima. He would put the slice of bread in the shalim, he would put them together and boteya and say a bracha and break both of them at the same time. So the Gemara says, Rashi says some either he would do both or he'd choose one of them, but either way the bracha would be chal on both at the same time. He would again meniach prusa basocha shleima uboteya. This way he's yote both of these dinim, both the bracha on the shalim and even on the psisim as well. So Amar le mashibcha, what's your name? Amar le Shlomon, my name is Shlomon or Shlomon. So Amar le Shalom ata v'shleima mishnascha shesamta shalom bein hatamidim. You are a person of shalom, you brought shalom between the two different mishnayos and you bring shalom between all the different talmidim. So the Gemara now says, Amar papa, Hakol Modim, everyone agrees, when it comes to Pesach, Sheminiach Prusa Basoch Shlema Ubotei. You should place the broken matzah. We have three matzahs we know. We break the middle matzah for Yachatz, and then there's a whole discussion about saying the bracha of a motzi, and and then on motzi matzah, you drop one of the matzahs, you hold the matzahs. There's a toast in the bottom here, Dibur Maskal Kol, I'm not going to go through right now, but he discusses the various opinions about holding the matzah, the broken matzah, the full matzah on Pesach. So why should a person do this on Pesach? That why does everyone agree, not only a Yerush Shemayim, but everyone agrees on Pesach, you should put the Prusa with the Shlema, because they're trying to Mekayim a dinner, my timer of Lechem Oni Ksiv. Lechem Oni, a poor man's bread, so a half a matzah, broken matzah, represents Lechem Oni, that's why the Lechem Oni should be there. Again, there's a really interesting toast, I'm not going to read it, but there are two elements we're trying to get here when saying the Bracha Matzah. There's an element of Lechem Mishnah, and there's element of lechem oni. So that's why when it comes to hamotzi lechem min haaretz, we want to hold both, all three matzahs to have two full lechem mishnas. When it comes to motzi matzah, we only want lechem oni, so we're concerned with the broken matzah. But take a look at those if you have a chance. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Abba, u b'shabbos chayv adam levtsoa al shtei kikaros. When it comes to saying hamotzi and Shabbos, we know you have to say a bracha on two loaves of bread. My time, what's the reason? Because lechem mishnah ksiv. Based on last week's parsha, the man fell twice in Erev Shabbos. So to remember that, we have two loaves of bread at every single meal. So Amar of Ashi, Rashi says chazina lei l'Rav Kahana. Did not get tarte or batzachada. He would hold two loaves of bread, and he'd only break one of the loaves of bread. Reb Zeir, on the other hand, have a batza, akula, sherusa, he would say a bracha and break both priests, akula sherusa, Rashi says, that akula sherusa, prusa gadola, shayadailo, l'cholasud the b'shabbos. He would choose a very large piece of bread in order that everyone at the meal has a piece of that bread. So there's an interesting gra. The gra writes that the lechemish, the breads that we have, the three meals, is supposed to be part of it zeichel aman, but also part of it zeichel lechem upon him, the 12 loaves of bread on the in the Mishkan, in the Shulchan. So the Gra, based on his Gemara, he understood that Akula Sherusa didn't mean the large piece of bread. He would cut both pieces of bread. So now follow the calculation here. So Friday night we have two loaves of bread. You cut them both in half, you have now four. So each meal you've created four loaves of bread. Four loaves of bread times three meals, that gives you 12. Those are connected to 12 lechem upon him, according to the Gra. The Arizal had the same idea, but he said differently. He said that we know that the loaves of bread for Shabbos are shaped as a vav. They're long. As opposed to Rosh Hashanah, they're circular usually, but they're a vav, a long shape. A vav is six. You have two loaves of bread, six and six is 12. So at each meal, we have a remes to the 12 loaves of bread at each of the three different meals. So it's based on the sugya, at least the gra, I believe, if I recall, that he says akula sherusa. It doesn't mean like Rashi says, on the bigger piece, it means you cut both, akula, both the loaves of bread at each meal to have four times three, giving you the 12 loaves of bread.
I'm sorry, so the six and six is what?
12. That's the 12 lechem apanim.
He also cut both.
No. Lav daf cutting both, but they represent it at least. Symbolically, the shape of the vav is six, and you have two of them, that's 12. That's symbolic. I don't know if that Rizal cut both or not, but that was the remez that he had said. So the Gemara then says, Amar le Ravina le Ashi, v'ha kamischaze kravasnusa. When you cut a huge loaf of bread, when I'm having my own sandwich, I've got two little slices of bread, I have my tuna sandwich, I'm having a meal, I'm a huge, long challah, I'm cutting it, that looks like I'm a big overindulger by having such a large piece of bread for myself, and even though I'm giving out afterwards, that's not a nice derech eretz. So Amar Le, he says back, Kevin dechol yom lo ka'avid hachi, everyone who watches me eat knows I don't eat much. Now this interesting, Rabbi Zeira himself is talking, Rabbi Zeira, he fasted 100 fast days when he left Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says, like, you, when you saw him eat, he was scrawny, he's very skinny. He didn't eat much. So anyone who saw Rabbi Zeira, he didn't eat much. So now suddenly Shabbos, he has a huge piece of a loaf of bread, a loaf of challah. So he says, since every single day, the chol yom lo kavid ha'achin, I don't do this normally, I have a small crumb, if anything. Va'in, and now it's Shabbos ka'avid, I'm doing this huge loaf of bread. Lo mischaze kravasnusa. Everyone knows I'm not doing this because I'm a big eater. I'm doing this because it's covered Shabbos and to give everyone a piece of the bread of the challah that I'm cutting. So Gemara concludes the last few lines of the page here. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, both of them hold ki ava misrami lirivsa de eruva mivarchan alea moti lechem minaris. When it happens to be when they would make an eruv chatzeros, so an eruv chatzeros requires a piece of bread or a matzah we typically use. So we use a matzah because matzah lasts for a long time. But sometimes you go to a place where you're making it just for the week. You're going to a hotel, you're going somewhere, you know, I got a lot of questions this past winter break. I'm going to this hotel, I'm going to that hotel, can I make an Erev Chatzeiros? So you need a loaf of bread or a matzah to make it. So now what he would do is, on Shabbos after making it, he would then eat that piece of bread that he used for the Erev Chatzeiros. Why would he do this? So Gemara says, Amri, hol this abed be mitzvah chada, nabed be mitzvah acharisi. Since the bread was used for one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Erev Chatzeiros, therefore he wanted to use it for another mitzvah of the kind of mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah and Sudos on Shabbos. We have this idea in a few other places in Halacha. Two that come to mind is, when it comes to Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin, when you use the matzah and egg, which is the typical practice, to make Erev Tavshilin, to cook from Yontif onto Shabbos, so the practice is that one should eat that food on Shabbos itself, because hol v'sabed mitzvah chada, navid mitzvah acharisi. It's brought one other place that comes to mind, is the Maharil. When a person, let's say, has tzitzis that snaps off, so the practice is to use a tzitzis as a bookmark in the Sefer. Why? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Maharil, hol v'sabed mitzvah chada, avid navid be mitzvah acharisi. Okay, we'll stop here. B'ezras Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.